Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Time for the word. The word, quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, touching everybody in every way. We need to focus on what this word says so that we can do what this word tells us to do, that we may walk in the light. The Spirit and the word agrees. And if we follow the Holy Spirit and walk according to the word of God, we're in the light. And all we need is to mix it with love. Love our fellow man even as ourselves. And above everything that we love, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, and all that is within us. Teach us to give, to love, to forgive, to love again, and to love again, and love that propels our faith, heal and restore people's lives. For faith works by love. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. You may all take your seats. Thank you very much. And I want to get on a subject which I believe is a very important topic for me to get into. So let us see what we can. Here we have a title behind me. Real friends do whatever it takes to get you to Jesus. Real friends will do whatever it takes to get you to Jesus. Because at the end of it all, there is only one who has the solution for all, and he is Jesus Christ the Messiah. There is no doubt about this. There is no second thought about this. The only one that can really help you is Jesus. And not just for a moment, for we always just think within a moment, but God thinks eternal. And he has eternal blessing for you. He came to save, to heal, and to deliver. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, in the book of Mark, chapter number 2 and verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum, and after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Now, most of the scholars agree that that was the house of the Apostle Peter, which is kind of central to the city of Capernaum to this very day. The Roman Catholic Church has built a whole new building over it. If you go into the building, you look through a glass in the middle of it. There's a rail, so you can walk up to the rail and look down, and you look into what was the floor of the house of the Apostle Peter, and Jesus himself was there. So he entered into the house. It was that he heard, and it was heard, verse number 1 at the end, it was heard that he was in the house, which tells me a regular place where he went. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. Now, if you see that house is a small house. But I'll tell you what, they packed it out. And I tell you what, I have another picture which I saw where it shows where Jesus is sitting there, people against the wall around him, very crowded, but you see the door, and outside the door, a sea of faces that stretches out. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word. The word spoke the word. John 3:34, he whom God sent speaks the word, spoke the word, is speaking the word. For God has not given him the spirit by measure. In other words, He has the Spirit without measure, the Messiah. He preached the word to them. There's power in the word. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, so that when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying, right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, and I want to say this again, faith is action. You can see a person of faith. You can see a person of fear. You can see a person of faith. It's the strangest thing. Maybe God has programmed me. Maybe God has made me used to some things through visions which I've seen. And because of that, I don't experience fear because of just that. I've seen people turn to monsters on the street when dark angels came down at a blistering speed, touched them, and their heads turned into the heads of monsters. They became violent, riotous, anarchy on the streets. I've seen these things. And when you've seen a few of those visions, and you see those beasts in the night, which I've also seen, you see those things in the darkness, and the teeth of those things that look like these saber-toothed tigers. They are massive, and they're out to kill. And I've seen that in the visions. But a strange thing, when you're in a vision, you're never scared, because God's in control of what He's busy showing you. So after seeing those things, you come out of it, you take the Word of God at face value, and there is no fear of any of those things, just no fear. They could not come near him because of the crowd. Now, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Saw their faith, and he knew, of course he knew, that the object that was being lowered from the roof above was for his attention, was that person. And he speaks to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Obviously, that person who was very ill had to also have a need to be in the presence of Jesus. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Blasphemeo." They don't even understand a blasphemy. The word blasphemy and the meaning of the word blasphemy, it's just amazing that they would think blasphemies, because even to think it is to think wrong. "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They didn't know was in their presence, and they were too ignorant to realize it. He came to his own and they knew him not. But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Rise up from your bed. Get up and go. Immediately arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Now, in a short sermon tonight, because I need to pray for people, I need to say to you a few things. You know, there's a scripture I was thinking about that says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And then I thought of a song that says, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Because you tend to think in the natural, but we need to learn to think spiritually and orientate ourselves to become spiritual people, driven by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, and do the Word of God. See? It is so that there is a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. It's an old gospel song. Afrikaans, wat 'n vriend het ons in Jesus. He is closer than anybody else on earth. He loves you more than anybody else on earth. He will sacrifice for you again and again, more and more, and answer your prayers because he is a friend that is closer than your closest brother and your best friend that you've ever had. Come on, give the Lord a praise of it right now. His name is Jesus. I often think to myself, where would Jesus go? If he had to arrive here now on the West Rand, where would he go? I tell you where he would go. He must probably go to the poorest part of the poorest and be found sitting there touching little children and healing people left, right, and center and meeting their needs by the power of God. For he is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh, manifest in the flesh, in the midst of us. But you know, there's a class of friends that'll do just anything. Now, in my last visit to Capernaum, I kind of figured out, I went up into that Roman Catholic building, looked down at the house of Peter, and then saw the structure around it. They built a little church around, very small little church first. That got to ruins after many years, but you could still see the floor base, and that's the area where Jesus was sitting. And of course, right in front of him, they lowered this man. Secondly, when I was there, I thought to myself, now, if the crowd is so big, where's the door? Well, the door is obvious. The door is pointing in a northwesterly direction. If you see the door of Peter's house, northwest. And there could be a crowd that was gathered there. And it was not the same as the homes now. So the only area to approach was to approach from an area where the people would be thinned out. Because they were all trying to stretch and see over each other's heads what's going on inside that house. In the meantime, there was a bunch of friends that would do just anything to get a person to Jesus. So I reasoned about this thing. I thought, well, they either came from the side of the Sea of Galilee or from the western side or southwestern side. It must be from that side that they came in because the other side would have been backed out. And then the houses are very, very close, built very close to each other. And I figured this thing out. I thought to myself, what would you think if you had a home cell? If you had a home cell. And while you're doing your home cell, suddenly the whole ceiling was ripped apart and there's a bunch of people looking down at you like that. And pieces would be falling on the ground and the next thing, there would be someone lowered on his bed right in the presence of the Messiah. That stopped the home cell. That stopped everything. And whatever Jesus was preaching the word, of course, he knew everything in advance. But when that happened, he saw their faith and he responded to the person. He saw their faith and he responded to the person. Now, I want to get away from the story a little bit, but not altogether. God sees every person as important. Why? Because Jesus paid with his blood for every person. He paid for you with his blood. He paid for everybody in this place, on the face of the planet, with his blood. So he values you. He values you so much that he was willing to die and suffer the crucifixion and the torture of the cross and be crucified in the midst of people that were criminal on both sides of him. Two more there. He loves you so much, and he considers your soul of such value that he came to this earth and he died on a cross. And I was listening to the song, "Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes me whiter than snow." Can you say amen? He values you. Oh, the blood of Jesus. And I thought to myself tonight, let me just close here for a moment, just talk to you. I just thought to myself, you know, none of us, I said it this morning, I'm saying it again tonight, none of us, not one person here, is capable of remembering every sin that you've ever committed. Nobody can. Some of the things we've done, we didn't even know we were doing the wrong thing. Sometimes we act carnally. We reacted carnally. We behaved carnally. We were part of whatever part of the works of the flesh, whatever part. The works of the flesh are numerous. And we responded in a carnal fashion towards whatever situation. And we promptly forgot about it. We went on with life and then everything calmed down. We forgot about the fact that we were carnal then. And he flees. Carnal. And we didn't even think about that and we forgot about it. And we might most probably never be able to remember all of those times. No matter how good your memory is, it's impossible to remember everything that you've ever done wrong. From childhood to where you are now. Just impossible. And then I thought to myself while listening to the violinist playing the song, "Oh, the Blood of Jesus," against the backdrop of this, let's call this sin corporately, of all mankind. Let's call it filth, because that's what it is. The wages of sin is death. Against the backdrop of this filth of the works of the flesh of whatever manner or kind, there's a cross on a hill. We're closing in on Good Friday. On that cross hung the broken and beaten body, the bleeding body of Jesus Christ, crowned with a crown of thorns. On that cross, there he suffered, and there he spoke the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Because he knew he was the Lamb of God, and he had come to save the very people that crucified him. And then I began to think about the power of the blood of Jesus, so powerful that it would take away the sins of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That the blood of Jesus is so powerful that by his blood you be cleansed from everything you can remember and what you can't remember. From the worst, let's put it this way, to the least or the littlest sin, that, to speak it that way, that you've ever committed in life. Even minuscule, doesn't matter. Fact is, big or small, every single sin is sin. Whether it's big, whether it's small, sin is sin. And all of that, there is such immense power of the blood of Jesus that in one single second tonight, when his blood comes into contact with you, you're cleansed. You walk out of this place holy, without blemish, and irreprovable. You are more than a conqueror. You're in covenant with the Most High God. You're going out of this place, you're victorious in the Beloved. You have authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. Stand up and give the Lord a praise offering. Come on. Shout hallelujah. Come on, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed be his holy name. Woo. If you're a visitor, I'm sorry, we don't have seat belts in the building. The worst of what you've ever done wrong, the least of what you've ever done wrong, you bring it before the of God. And come, let us reason together. Though your sins were like scarlet, they shall be white as wool, as white as snow. And so that's why in the Hebrew you call the Kedushim, the holy ones of God. Old, young, no matter who. Now there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Every soul is therefore VIP, very important in the sight of God. Everyone, most probably all of you, are struggling to get people to come to Jesus. But true friendship will do whatever it takes to bring a soul to God. We do not emphasize evangelism enough. One-on-one evangelism is very powerful. I can remember there was a man with me. I just finished studying at the University of South Africa, and then I started studying as a correspondence student at the AFM Theological College at that time. And there was a man, I was working at the SABC, and he was down there. He was like a sound controller in the studios. And I used to go out and read the news in those days. I was much younger. I was about 33 years old, or younger even. I'm reading the news and everything, and there was another guy with me by the name of Harry Crick. And he was on Radio Highveld. And sometimes I also went read news there, Springbok Radio in the old days, and Radio 5 in the old days. I used to read the news because I had the news bulletins, and I went in. You do a session. You go on the hour or on the half hour, every hour. You just stay there. You drink coffee and you wait for the time to pass, and you read the news bulletins. You run through them as they produce them, and you mark out the difficult words. You say them a few times so you can be fluent when you go on the air. There was this guy, and I don't even remember his name. I'm not sure we ever even knew his name, but Harry was there. He was on Highveld, and I was reading, I'm not sure what radio station or whatever it was. But it was late at night, and he was on duty, this man. He was walking. He was like, he had polio. So he had this condition. He always walked with a walking stick like this. But a nice guy, but really totally unsaved. And both Harry and I were born-again Christians. And Harry and I were talking. This guy came walking in. Now, you've got to understand, every single person on planet Earth is important to God. God uses His vehicles, us, to get those people to come to Him. Might as well say amen. Amen. Might as well give the Lord a praise offering too. Amen. He uses ordinary people like you and me as His instruments, as His servants, to bring them to God. Sometimes we battle to get our own family members to God, but then God sends somebody from another family to come into the family from another angle, and they lead that person to God. But God's got a way. All we have to do is to pray. And I remember this guy that night came in there, and Harry and I, we were both born again. We were both saved, filled with Holy Spirit. And we looked at this guy, and we just didn't want to let the opportunity go by. It was late at night. There's nothing to talk about, so we weren't going to talk about anything else except Jesus. And we spoke about Jesus. And I got it to the point where Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, He took it. And we led him to the Lord. And we made sure that he got filled with Holy Spirit. He was talking in tongues. We just got this guy. We got him good. He was full of the Spirit, and we were full of joy. Just one single soul. I mean, one single soul walking with a walking stick. He used to come into the offices. There were some steel cupboards, and he used to stand like this because on the one side he was shorter. He would lean on this you know, cabinet, and he would just, you know, he would just stand like this and very friendly. The following day, we found him in the office round about lunchtime. Here he came in. Now is a bit of a bounce in his step. He's just a little bit happier now than what he was before. And he greeted us, and Harry and I looked at him, and there he was. And he stood there, and he was talking to us, and very happy. And now he has found Jesus. I say Jesus is important to us. I mean, Jesus is important to everybody. Right? Actually, I should have preached this morning as well. He stood there, and I walked up to him, put my arm around him, gave him a hug. And Harry was there, and Harry took his hand and gave him a warm handshake, welcoming to the kingdom of God. And we were just very happy. The man went home that day, took his car, drove home, got out of the car at his garage at home. As he got out of the car, one of these little red wasps stung him in the ankle. He was dead within 2 hours. That same man. It was one day that he got saved. He lived saved for one day, and he went to heaven. And we had no further arguments about where that guy was going. We knew it was confirmed that day lunchtime. He was just talking about Jesus. He had gone and dug up the old Bible that he had, and he was very excited. He had his Bible in his suitcase. He was so happy. It was all about Jesus. The next moment, that afternoon, he was dead. Just like that. You see, I have to project this thought to you. Who is there that you know, and say it in both Afrikaans and English, die Here weet, the Lord knows that you want to get that person saved. Who is there who has perhaps been rude to you, bad-mouthed you, stabbed you in the back, criticized you, did whatever it was to you, offended you, victimized you, did something to you, that you tonight would say, if it was me, I would be part of the crowd there, working on these ropes, letting this guy come down right in front of Jesus. I'm one of those guys. If I have to break down the roof to get him to Jesus, I'm going to do it. Damage control, we can worry about that later on. Even if they have to sleep one night under the moonlight, because they just slept, it was just that room, that's just the total house. Even if there was no proper roof over their house, and even if there was a storm coming in, there is a man that just got healed. There is a man. God saw their faith, and it projected them. Their faith was projected to that man, and God saved that man. And I want to tell you, that man there didn't just walk out of that place. That man is waiting for us in heaven above now, because he met the Messiah, and the Messiah touched him. You see, good friends, not just ordinary buddies. The Australians would say, hey, mate, everybody's just a mate. No, they're not a mate. They're not a buddy either. There is a friend that sticks closer to the brother. Jesus is there, and he wants to use you to introduce, through you, someone to him. Question is, what are you going to do about it? Question is, who do you know that needs Jesus like nothing else? Like nothing else in existence. We all hold back. because we think somebody will be offended. You know, tonight I sat there and I was looking at communion elements that are in my study. And I thought to myself, there's a man called Smith Wigglesworth. And Smith Wigglesworth, every single morning, he had a ministry that God was working through that man, absolutely, totally extraordinary. 14 people were raised from the dead by his ministry. I mean, this guy disrupted funerals. I tell you, he goes into a funeral and they bring in the person with a coffin. And you know, like in the old days, you open up the coffin. Dale. And everybody's like this. Some are weeping and some are saying goodbye. Some are sad, some are this. And here comes Smith Wigglesworth into the church. And his wife grabs his hand. She says, Smith, behave yourself. Come on, Smith, sit down. Behave yourself. Smith looses her hand and he walks to the front of the church. He looks at this man. This is in a funeral with all the family and friends and everything. He looks at this guy. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, rise up and walk. Nothing happens. His wife goes. You know, you know those days I had false teeth. You just goes down there. Big accidents happen when you get a fright like that. Amen. Of course, nobody's got false teeth. Yeah, this is. I could tell you things about that. It's real funny, but okay, lost it. Go away from me, this temptation. And Smith looks at the people, looks around, looks at everybody. They've all forgotten about mourning now. Nobody's weeping, nobody's crying, everybody's stunned. He looks at this guy. He says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The guy just is there, dead as a doornail. Dood soos 'n mossie. Emmer geskop. I never said that, okay. Kick the bucket, in other words. Now it's getting serious because the minister there comes closer to say to him, but a brother, will you please take your seat? Now he goes for the worst. He takes the guy, lifts him up into a seated position, looks at his face, and says, I spoke to you and I said to you in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the guy goes, yes, sir. And out of the coffin he gets over in his white tunic. There he goes. No more dead, alive. Jesus is alive forevermore. Shout hallelujah. Rise up and give the Lord a praise offering. Come on. Come on, praise God. Come on, praise God. Come on. Shout hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, every soul is important. Come on, do that right now. Turn to somebody else and say, I have loved ones and they need saving. Are we all on the same wavelength? A man gets stung and he's there no more. I'll close with one more. We're minding our business. Maud and I are just minding our business. There's a little cafe on the corner in West Dean. We need milk and we need bread for the house. Frankie is that tall, and all the other kids are smaller. And we stop at the shop. As I'm parking in, I see an accident right in front of the shop across the road. I see there's a young woman, about between 16 and 18 years, I suppose, of life. I'm not sure. And a car had struck her. She's down. And the paramedics were there. I don't know what they've done, Dr. Dennis. They put pipes into her nose, and I personally think it must have run down into her stomach, because her whole stomach blew up like that. You know what I mean? So that they had to loosen these buttons here straight in the middle of the stomach, because her stomach was just going up. She's dead. Against the pole, about from here to that silver pole standing over there, is her mother standing next to the street. She's crying out. Her daughter is dead. Her daughter's, and she's screaming. She couldn't care if the whole of West Dean could hear her. She is going completely berserk. Here on the tar road lies her daughter that's dead. The medics are pulling out the pipes. It's over. It's a done thing. I walk up there and I look at this. This woman's kicked the bucket. I look at this and I say to the paramedics, please get out of the way. And it's funny, if you take authority in situations, how they listen to you. Just say, get out of the way. They just get out of the way. This guy evidently knows something we don't know. I walk up to this girl and I just touched her forehead. And I said, it was still in your days. Over there, Richard. And I walked up to this girl, put my hand on her forehead, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and live. But there was something in it that I said that preceded these words. It was this. As I walked to her and I realized she was dead, I said to myself, Lord, this woman needs a chance to live again, that she can receive Jesus Christ. She's too young to die. She has to meet the Savior. And this, come let us reason together, declare thou that you may be justified. This is my reason. Lord, too young to die, too young to die. And she must receive the Messiah. Then she can die, then it's fine. But after that, that's a different case. First, Jesus. I said to the people, get out of the way. Now, you know, when you do that sort of thing, they look at you like you're from the funny farm. But they obey. The funny thing is they all bounce back like this. I'm prayed up. I walk in there. I put my hand on her forehead. I said, in the name of Jesus, arise and breathe and live. Now, in Jesus' name. And she goes. And the next thing, all that gas starts coming out of her. And you could hear it, and it's hanging in the air, and just like that. She sits up, and there she is. Her mother is no more screaming. Her mother reminds me of an owl at that point. Something startling had just happened. Just happened. In the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. I said there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Listen, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, the Almighty Father. Yes. Yes. You see, what I reasoned with the Lord, come let us reason together. I said, Lord, this woman's got to live because she needs to get salvation. God heard my prayer. How many people do you know tonight that if they are dying, they will be going to hell? There's not a gray area. It's life, death, eternal damnation, or eternal life. The choice is very clear. The choice is clear tonight in this place. I close with these words. God uses ordinary people like you. Puts you in circumstances where you are in contact with totally unsaved people. But never underestimate the Lord. He brings you in that situation because He wants to use you right there. You start talking about Jesus, quickly find out how the doors just open up. Just open up. Just open up. Smith Wigglesworth used to take communion every single morning, and then he got up and he would say, Lord, show me somebody. I'm going to go for a walk now down the road in the city where he lived. He says, I'm going to walk down the road. You just show me anybody you want me to lead to you. I want one per day, one per day, one per day. And he would walk down the road, and there would be people crossing, and he would spot a woman walking on the other side of the road and go there, cross the road, and go to her and said, can I have a word with you, my dear? And he would lead her to Jesus pronto. Every day, another soul came in. Every day. When lost, did you do anything like that? You see, there are friends that'll do whatever it takes to get you to Jesus or someone that they love or anybody that would set them up. See, those people that are so difficult, they actually needing a little bit of a talk. I would not keep back the testimony of Jesus Christ from the moment God saved me properly, filled me with the Holy Spirit, and I knew I was a servant of God pronto. I would not keep quiet. Every opportunity I would have, I would use it to testify of Jesus. Tonight, I say it is the will of God that all men come to repentance and the knowledge of the truth. God is not willing that anyone should perish. It's written in scriptures. He's not willing that anyone should perish. How does He work? Through you. Sometimes it's just your personal testimony. Maybe it's just telling somebody what happened to you. Do you know what happened in my life? And you shorten, you practice your own testimony, you make it 2 minutes long. You don't motor mouth that thing, you hit the high notes like that. You tell someone what happened to you. And they get respect for you. You say, now I'm here, and I want to tell you the joy that I have, I want to share with you. Would you bow your heads? Because tonight your pastor is standing here. I also had a moment when a lady said to me, come to our church, because God moves there every week. And there was a lady that spoke, and I said, yes, I will. And I went. And I've never been the same, neither me nor Maud. That night in that AFM church, I walked in there and the presence of God was there. People were prophesying, speaking in tongues. I had goosebumps on top of goosebumps. But it didn't take long. I gave my life fully, irreversibly to Jesus. Maybe you've come into this place tonight and you've heard all of these things and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, I don't know. Say, Pastor, I need Jesus Christ in my life. Tonight, I'm that friend that'll do anything to get your life in the right direction. Tonight, I stand for Jesus, and I'm that person that says, I'll do whatever it takes to help you tonight to get to God, whatever it takes. If I've got to break a hole through the roof of the church to get to you tonight, I'm willing to do that. Get some ropes. Get a stretcher, we'll bring you right in the presence of God. I don't care, I don't care. We can fix up the damage later. I don't care, I want you to get to Jesus. Tonight, I'm that friend. And as his friends were desperate, making a plan, mark a plan, get him into the presence of Jesus. Tonight, I say, I want to get you in the presence of Jesus. I want Jesus and the presence of God to affect your entire life tonight. You say, Pastor, I come to church, but really, if I die, I spoke to somebody and I said, you know what, I don't even know if I'm going to make it through the day. In fact, I don't know if I'll make it through the night. In fact, I don't know if I'm still going to be alive tomorrow. In fact, I don't know if I'm going to live another week. I don't know how long I'm still around. But God alone knows that. And in the meantime, I've got to see to my life and I've got to do what I've got to do. And it takes everything within me to say, listen, I've got to be, my life has got to be right with God. I want to help you to get your life right with God. Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want that blessed assurance. Ek wil weet vanaand. Ek's reg met God. Steek jou hand op. Just raise your hand right now. I see that hand. God bless you. See another hand. God bless you. Just raise your hand right now. Just wave. There's another hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see in the back there's somebody else. God bless you. Some more hands going up. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, people are raising their hands. Maybe you've come to the church. You say, Pastor, you know what? I come to church and I drifted away and I backslid. Now, we can almost say there's no excuse for it, but the devil is always full of schemes and he lures people in wrong directions. You say, I want to make a comeback and rededication of my life. I want to be sure I'm going to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I'm saying, Pastor, please take me to Jesus tonight. I need Jesus tonight, not some night. I'm tired of the stormy waters. I need Jesus right now to help me to sort out the mess of my life and to put me in the correct direction. Then raise your hands. I'll pray for you. Just raise those hands. Now, of course, I see hands going up. Thank you. Of course. The devil will say, well, you know, don't you do that. There's another hand over there. I see that hand. And say, you know, don't you raise your hand. Here's another hand going up here. Don't do that now. Don't do that now. Because you know what? Do you know that there's like a war for your soul? Do you know what? Those guys that went through the roof there and lowered that bed, they must have had a kind of very much of a resistance when they got on top of that roof. When they broke through the roof. I wonder what the owner, Mr. Peter, had to say about that. That was his house. But in one shot, everybody's eyes were on Jesus and the person that needed salvation. Tonight, you are the object. You say, I'm tired of this mess. I'm tired of struggling, tired of it. Stick your hand up next to you a bit. Vocal, yes, just raise your hand for me now. Just ignore the devil. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see hands going up. God bless you. Yes. Over there. God bless you. Over there. God bless you. God bless you. I want you, if you raise your hands, to just stand for me in this moment. I want to see you so I can pray for you. Just stand up and I'll pray for you. Stand for me and I'll look for you, but wherever you are. You raise your hands, stand. Now look at me. Look at me. Just come to me here. I want to pray for you here. Come to me now. Come. There is a song my son Frankie sings. There was a lonely woman. And it's a song about the woman at the well. And there is another song that says, then I bowed on my knees and cried holy. This is a moment in your life. This is your moment. Write down the date of this day. 3rd of March, 2018. Everything changes. Now comes commitment to live it right. And you don't have to worry anymore. You hear me, young lady? Jesus loves you. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus loves you. You might feel tonight, you feel the presence of God is upon you. His presence is very strong in the church. But He loves you. Everything changes. New beginning for you. Now everybody raise your hands towards Him and say these words after me. According to the Bible, I now confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in my heart that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Therefore, I'm saved. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Wash me in your blood. I repent of sin. I repent of evil. I renounce any form of evil and the very appearance thereof. Fill me with Holy Spirit and please write my name in the book of life of the Lamb of God. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I believe that God the Father raised you from the dead. I thank you that you are Lord forevermore over everything that I do from now on. Now, Father, fill me with Holy Spirit according to the Word of God. This night, I begin a new walk in Jesus' name. Thank you for forgiving me. I repent altogether of everything evil. I'll come to church, I'll pray, and I'll obey. Thank you, Jesus. Can you all say amen, give the Lord a praise offering? Would you all just follow that pastor? I will let Fialalo say, just go with that pastor at a moment. He's going to talk to you a moment, and then just bless you can come back. Just walk with him. Just go follow your heart. Amen. I say God is good. God is good. Give the Lord a praise offering. God is good. Let me just pray over this, and then I'm going to pray down there for people. And this one here is somebody that has been sick for more than 6 months. Back, leg pains, doctors cannot find the cause. Seen many doctors wasting away. We believe witchcraft may be involved. And this is Kanyisu Metetwe. And I'm just putting my hand on this cloth. The devil is a liar. We break the power of Satan in his body. In Jesus' name, let the anointing stay on this cloth. Can you say amen? Amen. And when it comes into contact with his body, he be healed in Jesus' name. Here's another one here. Pray for Kuni Funavalt, lung cancer. And a long-term person. He's not here tonight. And all the way back from the days of the tent. And somebody by the name of Audrey Kralin gave it. Again, raise your hands towards this. In the name of Jesus Christ, we lift up Kuni Funavalt. We break Satan's power over his life, in his body. We bind that spirit of death. We bind the spirit of cancer. We prohibit it from spreading and killing him right now. God says, with length of days, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Somebody here by the name, not here tonight, but gout in the hand, very bad. And prayer on behalf of my son. His name is Martin Kessler. This comes from Mari Kessler. Now, Martin Kessler, we agree in the name of Jesus that gout goes. It's all nonsense. You know, the devil comes in any way. But I say Jesus comes in every way. And he heals everything. He heals them all in the name of Jesus Christ. Let him be healed. Then there is Philippe van der Leeuw. And he's here. And he's going in for a heart operation. It's Friday. Where is he? Come to me, please. Let's go to the middle over there. How old are you?
46.
46. That's way too young for heart operations. Way too young. Let me just put my hand here. And just, you know, 46 is just way too young. You know, Psalm 91 says, with length of days I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, I don't go by any word except the word of God. I don't care who says what, even what he may have thought. God says, Psalm 91, with length of days I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Now you can feel the presence of God is right here. In fact, it's on you right now. Do you forgive everybody that sinned against you? You really forgive. So the first thing is, when you forgive, fear goes. You have faith? Raise your hands higher so the power of God come down upon you. Right now, in Jesus' name. Will you all just raise your hands towards him? In the name of Jesus. Let the power of God just flow. Now look up to heaven. Now close your eyes and just receive what God's got for you. In Jesus' name. This condition of his heart, Lord, I break the curse on his heart and Satan's power over him. In Jesus Christ's name. I thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. The punishment of your peace was upon Jesus. Well, he is, I believe. By his stripes, you are healed. The punishment of your peace was upon Jesus. God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Right now, the power of God's flowing over you. I can actually feel your heart beating very evenly under my hand. Just very evenly. It's not anything that's funny or anything that's abnormal. Your heartbeat is pretty normal right now. I just put a little bit of oil on you in Jesus' name. My other hand on your heart. And I say, Father, release the healing power. Open up every vein. Renew every heart valve. Let the circulation be normal. As they test him, let them know that God's been doing some operation here. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I got a quarter of an hour. And in that quarter of an hour, any person. Now, I'm not talking about you if you this afternoon bumped your toe. Or perhaps you're wearing some high heels and now you've got ankles that are sore. Not talking about that stuff. I sometimes think that is really mathematical, that thing. Have you ever seen a woman with these long ones? I mean, they walk downhill all the time. You'd think they do it on the front end of the foot so they can walk uphill. And say, I'm climbing, I'm rising to new heights all the time. But in any case, I'm not talking about that type of thing. I say, if you're sick, if you really are sick, then rise and come forward right now, quickly. I've not got much time. We've got a quarter of an hour. Just rise and come forward if you're really sick. I'm not talking about an ingrown toenail either. Are these people in the front? All of you, raise your hands and begin to pray in the Spirit. Just pray to the Lord. Raise your hands right now because the presence of God is right here. Do you believe the presence of God is in this building? Now watch what's going to be happening. You'll see in a moment, I know where this thing is going. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I know exactly where this is going. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I know exactly where we're going now. In the name of Jesus, there the power of God's on her. In the name of Jesus, just let it go, let it go, let it go. In the name of Jesus, there's the power of God's on her now. In the name of Jesus, power of God's on you now. You feel the power of God's on you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you can feel the power of God's on you. In the name of Jesus. Yes, you feel the power of God. You are very much in the presence of You know, even when I was a long way off, I could see the power of God. Raise your hands both high, 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 high. There we are. Now there's the power of God on you right now. Oh, yes. And that thing is going to be expelled right now because there's been a spirit of illness upon you. And that thing is getting out of your life now in Jesus' name. There it is. There it is. Raise your hands high. You can smile. You can smile. Okay, raise your hands. The presence of God is on you. There it is right now. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now watch this. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's coming through like a current. I can feel it on me now very strongly. It's just flowing towards her. In Jesus Christ, there it is, there it is. Go, you spirit of infirmity, and return to her no more. I break your power in the name of Jesus Christ. There it is. Trevor, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? The Lord has had mercy on you. Now, Trevor, not only will you be restored, but you will go back to your practice. And you'll be better than ever before because now you'll have the mind of Christ from this night. In Jesus' name. The final symptoms of a stroke is being removed tonight. Now, in Jesus' name, look at me. Look at me. You had a stroke. How long ago did you have that stroke?
7 months.
7 months ago. And then you were in a state. And you couldn't do what?
I couldn't move my legs.
You couldn't move your legs? Your knees, just everything collapsed. And now, you're walking. And your arms,
perfect.
And tonight you came forward for?
Just for the heart, it's functioning at 28%.
The heart is functioning 28%. Let's push the heart up with the help of Jesus to 100%. All right, can you say amen? He's had a stroke. Everything is back to normal. His heart is functioning 28%. I'm saying 100%. Jesus is the God of ultimate. He does not heal a person 28%. He heals him 100%. Go! And I break the curse on your heart tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He's a lawyer. He's going to be practicing his law. And he's going to be satisfied, like I said just now, with length of days and see the salvation of the Lord. Can you all say amen? Amen. Bless the Lord. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Now, I told you I know where I'm going with this. Those people that I've just prayed for, the people I've just prayed for you, wherever you are, something's happened to you now. And if you sense that something really happened to you, I said if you sense something really happened to you, then give God the glory and come and tell me quickly. I want to hear about it. If you feel something, how many of you came to the front and something's happened? Wave with your hands. Wave with your hands. Where are you? Now come, come. There's somebody over there. I saw another hand. Come. Now I've seen you before. You can go. You can sit down. I can sit. Yeah. I've seen you before.
I was diagnosed with a stomach ulcer. It was really swollen.
Stomach ulcer, very swollen hand.
It's
not swollen anymore. You're like a lady that sat over there. Her stomach was big, like she was pregnant. Came forward for prayer, and it just went down straight away.
The feeling is gone.
And the stomach is down. Are you sure your stomach's down? Turn sideways. Put your hand over your stomach. She says the stomach is down. There's the power of God on her again. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And are you... What is wrong with you? You're shaking all over. Raise your hands. Yes. You're feeling the presence of God. Something has happened to you. What has happened to you? Talk to me.
I fell off the stairs.
You fell off the stairs?
I had a bad concussion.
And you had a bad concussion?
Was in hospital for a week.
Was in hospital for a week, yes. And now? And what? You're better. You don't feel pain? Yeah, you're better. Are you sure you're better? Are you sure you are? Well, raise your hands to God. Give Him glory. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody, right now. Amen. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Now give the Lord a praise offering. You may stand on your feet. Let's stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, give God a good praise offering right now. I say, there is a friend. There is a friend that will do whatever it takes to get another person to Jesus. How many of you say, yes, Lord, send me? Give Him a praise offering if you say that. Listen, every soul is important. Say those words. Say, I am God's vessel of honor, of glory, of the testimony of Jesus Christ unto salvation, wherever I go, under all circumstances, every day. That's me. Give the Lord a praise offering right now. I close with these words. Do you know that from the moment I made that decision you've just done, from the moment I stepped into that, the power of God just multiplied on my own life. It's amazing. People look for the anointing. You start witnessing, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you'll be my witnesses. The moment you begin to witness, the power of God comes over you. And you move into a new dimension. And the excitement when you strike success, and again, and you build faith, you build confidence, and it's good. Will you raise your hands? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you, be gracious to you. The Lord grant you eternal salvation and peace. In the name of God, the Almighty Father, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit of the living God, we say amen. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.